Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nine Lives, Season 2, Episode 2, How to Find Your Purpose and Stop Self-Sabotaging. That's what we're going to be talking about today, and it's one that I am asked about a lot. I've spoken a lot about being a late bloomer and finding your purpose later in life, or told the story of how I did and how I've kind of gone through this journey of self-discovery and finding my place in the world. But I wanted to basically give a couple of tools and tips as to how to find your place in this world and what that looks like. I also wanted to touch on self-sabotage because I think that's a huge thing that we all do. And I did solidly for like 5 or 6 years without realizing that I was just basically self-harming and getting in my own way. So this is what we're going to talk about today. So what is your purpose? What, you know, someone says finding your purpose. Okay, what does that mean? Your purpose is, in my opinion, what you were born to do or what you've been put on this earth to do. And I think everybody has a purpose. And some people find it at 6 years old, some people find it at 60, and some people find it at 106. But I think within us, we all have that thing that gives us drive, that makes us feel like magic, both within ourselves and also to pass on to others. So this feeling of magic often is referred to as the sublime. And the sublime to me is when your world sings. It's when everything goes quiet and when you're in the flow. For me, that's running and horse riding, painting, hiking with my partner, or finding a solution for a client, watching my coaching work positively change someone's life. That's the sublime for me. That's when I feel everything goes quiet and I'm within, you know, my work and I'm in my purpose and I'm feeling the magic sort of swirling around and I'm very present in that moment. Danielle van der Velde has a lovely way of describing this. Her words are much more beautiful than mine, so I thought I'd share. She says, I love the way it sounds sublime and it beautifully captures the essence of a greater hidden depth in something, a stirring of energy beneath the surface of the senses. Something of a sublime nature is interactive, expansive, and beautiful. Perhaps what I like the most about the sublime is that it points to us, is that it points us to the hidden depths within the ordinary, felt depths that vibrate and permeate the surface. The sublime is subtle and potent. It is not held tightly in the intellect. It is felt deep under our own surface. The sublime engages the heart and brings us into stillness and presence. It changes our state and raises our resonance. It makes us lighter. But this feeling is often overshadowed by our own self-sabotage and clouded by the negative feelings in our own minds, telling ourselves horrible things about our capabilities. And I'll go into finding your sublime in a moment, but this is a feeling that I did not feel for maybe 6 or 7 years. The sublime bliss of like stillness and happiness and feeling like you're putting positive things out into the world and you're helping and you're changing. At least that's what I believe is my purpose. For other people, it's different things. But when you cloud yourself with whatever lifestyle choices that you're making, but not only that, with negative thoughts inside your own mind telling you that you're not either worthy of achieving greatness or that you aren't capable of it. I think wholeheartedly, everyone has different gifts to offer the world, and we are all capable of achieving the sublime and finding our purpose too. And the most beautiful thing about human beings is how when we suffer, we become stronger and it teaches us things. And then we are able to realize that, you know, like in my own journey, for example, being bullied growing up now means that I know wholeheartedly what it feels like to feel sad for a long time because of others. And I would never, ever make anyone else feel that way or want any of my children or any of my friends or anyone to feel sad or lonely. And that's a part of my purpose, but that was informed when I was younger. So another book recommendation for you all is a book called Mastery by Robert Greene. Robert Greene he's amazing. Watch some interviews with him if you have a moment. He's a fantastically well-spoken person. His brain is wonderful, and the way he puts things out there about mastery of self is just, yeah, he's brilliant. So in his book Mastery, he says, "We imagine that creativity and brilliance just appear out of nowhere. The fruit of natural talent, or perhaps of a good mood, or an alignment of the stars. It would be an immense help to clear up the mystery, to name this feeling of power, to examine its roots, to define the kind of intelligence that leads to it, and to understand how it can be manufactured and maintained. Let us call this sensation mastery, the feeling that we have a greater command of reality, other people, and ourselves. Although it might be something we experience only for a short while, for others, masters of their field, it becomes their way of life, their way of seeing the world. Such masters include Da Vinci, Charles Darwin, Thomas Edison, Martha Graham, etc., etc. And at the root of this power is a simple process that leads to mastery, one that is accessible to all of us." Now, I find sometimes when I'm reading these things and I hear these brilliant minds speaking about all of these topics that I can now, I can relate to, which is mind-blowing. The fact that I've found a vocation is wonderful. But, you know, I wanted to kind of take a moment to bridge the gap between people who are in a place where they're really struggling with their mental health or they're really struggling with their lifestyles, you know, to then say, find your purpose or find the sublime feels like a very far off dream, you know, because you've got to do all of the sorting out of self before you can then think about what you can give back into the world, right? And I think knowing that those two things can happen concurrently, but it's also okay to be, it's okay to take rest and hibernation in oneself and allow yourself time and space to figure out how you can feel a little bit better and how you can connect to yourself before thinking, do I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a, you know, a coach, whatever it is. You know, not knowing yourself is okay. And I remember, like, I grew up, I have depression. I had depression growing up. And I remember the first time I ever felt that way. Because I think the feeling of sublime is something that's really prevalent in childhood, right? Because we're not clouded by other people's judgments or expressions. We're just sort of in our own element, in our own little world. And I think, you know, if you have the privilege of a safe and happy childhood, looking back at those and feeling like that sort of joyful buoyancy of like, we're just out playing and everything's just slightly lovely and there isn't this marring of like what the world is going to do to you. But I remember very vividly that feeling of sublime sort of starting to fade away when I was about 9 or 10 years old. And I remember I used to work and muck out at my local stables for pocket money. And I remember going to a sleepover at one of the girls' houses. And I think we were like 8 or 9, actually, a wee bit younger. And we were watching a film. And I remember it was the weirdest sensation in the world. But we were in her front room eating snacks, watching like, I think it was like Barbie Horse Adventures or something, you know. Anyway, I was safe. I was with people who I trusted and I was watching something nice and everything was fine. And while we were watching this film and everything, you know, the girls had gone quiet and whatever, and or they were just chatting away happily. I remember this sort of like really sinking feeling coming over me and feeling almost like lonely in a room full of other people. And that kind of was the first time I remember experiencing that sort of like otherness feeling and feeling like I didn't really belong there or that I was just very alone. And that feeling of like sadness pressing into my chest, that was the first time I'd felt that. And I know that now to be depression or mental health struggles. But back then I didn't know what it was. And it was the weirdest sensation in the world. But that was something that I had to contest with in order to find my sublime again. And I still contest with it every single week. I've had a really bad mental health day today, for example. And these are my favorite days because I get to come here for a few hours and do what I love, which is speak to you guys and give you guys some ideas and some inspiration. And yet today my brain has decided that it's telling me I'm an awful person, that I don't belong here. So, you know, this is something I still contest with, and that is overriding my feeling of sublime, of my purpose. So making space for the allowance of when you aren't neurotypical and you do struggle with these sort of things, it is okay. You're not going to feel like you're driven and purposeful and aligned and in tune with your career or your vocation every single day. I don't know anyone who's like that. And I have friends in all walks of life, from nurses to architects, entrepreneurs, you name it. And honestly, more often than not, a lot of people feel very lost and they feel like they don't know what they're doing. So believe me, you're not alone if you feel that way. But I remember that being the first time I felt that feeling of aloneness and loneliness, and it overshadowed what I loved, and it continued to overshadow it, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse through my teens to my early 20s. And so finding my purpose was almost impossible because I was too sad. And of course, it was then compounded by a couple of traumatic events that made my mental health even worse, meaning that, you know, when you're just trying to survive, it can be very hard when someone says, I remember so many school meetings, crisis meetings, because I wasn't, you know, I was not going to class, or I'd be, you know, I wasn't disruptive, but I was incredibly angry and sad and, you know, failing everything. And so many meetings with headmasters and principals saying, what are you going to do, Cassia? You know, what do you want to do with your life? Like, you know, so-and-so's going to Oxford and da-da-da's going to this and they're going to do this and that. And what do you want to do? And I would just sit there and say, well, I'd like to not want to have the feeling of not wanting to be alive. That's probably what I'd want to do first. So when you're feeling those feelings, it can be incredibly difficult to say, I'll go to medical school. You know, again, if you're struggling with your lifestyle and your routines and you're finding it hard to brush your teeth or wash your hair or have a shower, the prospect of going to university or the prospect of finding your sublime and vocation is immeasurable. It's huge. It's unthinkable. So just giving yourself space and allowance of time to sort of sort through that is really, really important. But for those of us who are on a journey that is slightly further ahead than that, and you're still feeling a little bit lost and like you don't know what to do, and like, okay, I've done all of this work, and I've felt like this a lot, like I've done all this work on myself and on everything else, why am I not, I don't know how to do the next part, and I think this might be the next part. So I would say also in business or vocations and finding purpose, other people are going to be your biggest obstacle, meaning, well, and yourself and self-sabotaging, but you can't let other people cloud your judgment. Kind and honest people are incredibly rare. So if you are one of those people, you have to stay true to yourself and not let other people bring you down, tell you you can't do things or try and take things from you. Robert Greene speaks of this in his book, and he says, often the greatest obstacle to our pursuit of mastery comes from the emotional drain we experience in dealing with the resistance and manipulations of other people around us, which is very, very true. I think more often than not, you talk to people who say, I would love to do this, but my partner isn't supportive. I would love to do this, but my friends will laugh at me. That's a big one. That's a really, really big one. Like, if we take my work on social media, for example, like, it's so terrifying to put yourself out there and say, these are my ideas and this is my creativity and I'm bearing my soul to the world. And you're like waiting for people to come back at you, right? But that emotional drain of others, you have to try to remove that when you're trying to do these exercises of figuring out what it is you want to do or what your next steps are. Because if we lived our lives for other people, we would never live a day again, truly. The idea that there are people in your circle or in your life that might be holding you back is a really uncomfortable truth that a lot of people aren't willing to face up to. But if there is someone who, you know, and you can hear it in them when you say, oh, I got, you know, I want to sign up for a race, I want to lose some weight, gain some weight, I want to, you know, write a book, I want to change careers, I want to start a job on social media, and they're like, why would you do that? You probably can't. That's really my favorite one, is when people say that's cringe, because when someone says to you that's cringe, you know you're doing something right. You know you're doing something right, because this is a whole other tangent, but I believe that good art should make people cringe, because you're expressing yourself, and that show of emotion to people who are not comfortable with themselves makes them cringe. So to be cringe is to be free, to be cringe is to live. I think that's a whole episode in itself, getting over embarrassment and shame. But if you can just exist in cringe and be happy and excited that you're making people feel things and you're making people feel uncomfortable and question themselves and want to change and evoke change through that, you're onto a real winner. Anyway, I also have another quote that I absolutely love when it comes to business and this sort of idea of other people and involving other people in yourself and your dreams. And it's by George Bernard Shaw, and it goes, never wrestle with pigs. You both get dirty and the pigs like it. I just think that's brilliant, because people are going to try and drag you down into their little mud bath just because they want you. Just because they want to wrestle with you there, because they enjoy it. They enjoy the negativity and the drain and draining your resources and making you feel like crap. So I would say, if you can wholeheartedly try while doing these exercises we're going to talk about, to remain steadfast in yourself without the opinions of others, trying to remain in your truth and integrity and light. And by the way, it doesn't matter how silly this all sounds or feels to you, because the sillier the better. If you'd have told me 4 years ago that I'd be a long distance runner with a coaching business and a podcast and whatever else, I would laugh. I'd be like, that's silly. That's a really silly, lofty idea. And here we are, I sit before you today. So dreaming big is like totally allowed. You can do it. So if we're taking it back to the idea of sublime being a little bit more present in your childhoods. Robert Greene, again, I'm probably going to be quoting him a lot because this book, it's just so brilliant. He says of this idea, at your birth, a seed is planted. That seed is your uniqueness. It wants to grow, transform itself and flower into its full potential. It has a natural, assertive energy to it. Your life's task is to bring to seed that flower, to express your uniqueness through your work. You have a destiny to fulfill. The stronger you feel and maintain it as a force, a voice, or in whatever form, the greater your chance for fulfilling your life's task and achieving mastery. That sense of uniqueness, or reconnecting with your incarnations, is the first step, I would say. Meaning, what makes you you and what makes you tick and what you love belongs to you. And often you have to go back to your childhood to sort of rediscover what it is that you love the most and what makes you happy. But what's so important of your inner voice and your inner force is that it's yours and it's not your parents or your peers or other people in your life, your partners, whoever, it's yours. And it can often feel very difficult to reconnect to that voice because it's so very down under the weight of other people's expectations or projections that often hearing it clearly can be very, very, very difficult. So you might want to look for an underlying pattern, for example, something that you've done throughout your life that makes you feel in that kind of magic flow state. So for me, it's always been animals and nature. Those are two things that I non-negotiably need in my life to have a nice lifestyle. And it's something I always go back to when I feel sad. So if I'm having a period of bad mental health and it lasts more than 3 or 4 days, I will say to my partner, I really, really need to go to the woods. I really need to go for a hike in the woods. I need to go out. I need to not see buildings. I need to see trees and big skies. And I need to sit under a tree and just be. So those are non-negotiable for my own purpose and my sublime. So finding trail running and running and a place where I can be within that has helped me immensely with finding my purpose and reconnecting to myself, because I've granted that space for myself in something that throughout my life has always been prevalent. If we look at the years that I was struggling with alcohol abuse and binge eating disorder, I wasn't outside in nature. I wasn't around animals. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. And so I was losing myself piece by piece by piece, the more that I was ignoring that voice and I was listening to other people's ideas of myself or other people's ideas of my lifestyle or what I should be doing and what success, you know, how success can be measured. And, you know, I had the journey of discovering or rediscovering myself through running and fitness. But for some people, fitness will never come into it. And that's such an important aspect to for me to drive home for you all. Just because fitness worked for me, it doesn't mean it's what will make everybody tick. In fact, you know, I have examples of friends who have started pottery or they've become writers. You know, that's completely different to fitness, and yet that's their sublime, that's their bliss. It's something they did when they were younger that they really, really loved. Or in fact, it's something that reminds them of being young and they found later in life. Not necessarily does it need to be something you did as a child, but it's something that evokes that feeling. When you have this connection established, you can look at the career path you're already on or are about to begin. The choice of this path or redirection of it is critical. To help in this stage, you will need to enlarge your concept of work itself. Too often we make a separation in our lives. There is work and there is life outside work. And outside work is where we find real pleasure and fulfillment. Now, you know, the twists and turns of your career path or purpose and drive is one that I will never intrinsically know because they're all so complicated and different. But having or feeling like you have a little bit more control and agency over being able to do something you love every single day depends, of course, on your circumstance. And a lot of people are not offered the privilege to take a step back, you know, have all these creative ideas, do, you know, discover what it is and go after that. People have children, responsibilities, people are working, you know, 3 or 4 jobs, shift work. These ideas are, you know, I'm aware this is coming from a place of someone who, I don't have kids and I don't have those sort of responsibilities. So just when I speak about this, I never want anyone to feel like I'm speaking over anyone's experience when it comes to that. But I think knowing that, and if I look at my business or work or whatever, and I always find this subject a little trickier to talk about for some reason rather than other things I discuss, because I'm really bad at talking about successes for some reason in my career. I don't know why. I think because I'm still a little bit shocked that it's happening, because I've always been someone who is sort of tried and failed at everything, and failures seem to sort of follow me around. So the fact that something is succeeding is terrifying, and I feel like it's going to fail. Sort of every day I'm waiting for it to fail. So, but if I've learned anything, it's that if you can find what you love and make it your work, you're going to work so hard at it, and you'll actually end up having to set boundaries but not working too much, and that's a real privilege and a joy. However, not everyone obviously can take the time out to do that. So another way and another expression of finding purpose and joy and sublime is hobbies. And I think we've lost the art of having hobbies recently. I think we're getting it back. The more people I speak to are like, I've taken up running, I'm taking up, I don't know, golf or whatever it is. And I think a lot of people are realizing it's so important, and doom scrolling and trashy TV isn't a hobby, unfortunately. But accessing parts of your mind that make you happy and make you feel fulfilled is probably going to be found in the hobbies and in rediscovering what it is and trying lots of different things until you kind of know, like, okay, I do enjoy this. I do really like this. Or trying it and thinking, I actually really hate this. Don't like this at all. But you don't have to start with something that's lofty or ambitious. You know, you could try something and establish your confidence and see where it takes you. But again, what's so difficult, and something time and time again that happens in my own life and in people around me's lives and clients' lives, is this horrible habit of self-sabotage. Self-sabotage is something that we are taught to do often if you have the experiences, let's say, for example, that I have had with bullying and with not very nice relationships with people. I have an inner bully because I have been very, very used to mistreatment from people and being discarded by people and laughed at by people, that I, when I'm not in that space and I feel very good and confident about something and I'm really excited about something and I'm working on something and it feels nice, I often then have that self-sabotaging voice that's like, you don't deserve it, or you're going to fuck it up, you're not going to be able to do it, you're not going to be able to pull it off, whatever it is. That voice starts coming in, and that is self-sabotage. And often this happens because when you're in a secure and safe place and you're not used to feeling like that, your brain wants to sabotage it, or you will try to sabotage it so that you can say, told you it wasn't going to work out. I knew it wasn't going to happen for me. I am used to things going wrong. And we can see this in romantic relationships as well. I mean, that's a whole other discussion to be had. But being in a healthy place with your career or whatever, it can sometimes trigger unresolved trauma. And you can kind of pick fights with yourself over little things because you might be addicted to chaos instead of feeling safe and at peace with feeling good. And getting to a place where you say to yourself, I deserve this, I am capable of this, I can do this, is one of the most difficult parts of this whole process. It really, really is. And I still struggle with it every single day of like, can I do this? But the same goes for weight loss journeys, weight gain journeys, fitness journeys, career journeys, everything. We have to try to not listen to the negative voices outside and inside of ourselves and try to stay true to our path and purpose in order to unlock the next level of our lives. And unfortunately, things that happen when we're younger can inform so much about our self-perception and the way that we see the world and our expectations of outcomes as well. You know, when you've been someone who's consistently been let down by people or consistently tries and fails, it can be very difficult to build up the courage to try again. Very, very difficult. And that's what kept me at a very still and stuck place for so long. And also when you're in that self-sabotaging cycle, the things that make you feel better that are so quick to reach for, whether it's junk food, alcohol, doom scrolling, you know, all of that, online shopping, impulsive spending, all of these things, they make you feel better in the short term, but you're sabotaging yourself by doing it. And breaking out of that cycle is difficult, but very, very possible. And grounding yourself in your sublime is possible. And I would say also that with all of these concepts, you know, I'm talking about things that are free. You know, they're not things that are not necessarily free, but there are things that are more grounding than, you know, I would argue that possibly your sublime probably shouldn't be traveling around in a Rolls Royce or going to a department store and spending loads of money. You know, I don't think that could be a sublime. A sublime as a concept is something that makes you feel like time doesn't exist and you're in something so wholeheartedly, and it's giving you that life force back, so you're being powered up by it. Like with, you know, my own work and working with people and helping them on their running journeys or on their mental health journeys through this podcast, that fills me up more than anything I've ever experienced before in my life. Because to hear and read messages from people saying, I did this positive thing because of the podcast, or I went out and I tried because you told your story and I was brave enough to start telling mine, that is my sublime. That is it. And that's something that can't be bought or sold. It's something that I have discovered through my own journey of self-discovery. But it's taken years, and it will take you a long time too. Or maybe you'll be lucky. You'll go out tomorrow, there'll be a massive strike of lightning and you'll be like, wow, this is it. I've arrived. But, you know, it's a zigzag, not a straight line. You probably will bounce around between certain things before you realize what it is you really, really want to be doing. And I myself, being more of a creative person, yeah, I've discovered there's a lot of things in business I don't like doing and that I don't want to do. And that's okay. And, you know, you should never, never look at influencers or online, let's say, content creators who have businesses and compare your journey to them if that's something that you're interested in, starting your own thing. I used to do that a lot because, like, I'm obviously not neurotypical and I don't have a usual schedule or usual thought patterns. And there are a few young, very big content creators who also are CEOs, and their daily schedules look terrifying to me, but they're so hyper productive and their businesses are so huge and scaling so big that for a while I was like, that's how I have to be successful. That's the only way to be successful. When actually my sublime is working with people. Like, it's being with a community. It's being out in the mud with my friends or being at races with people, clients that I've brought together. And I don't think I want world domination. So I think that's another thing that's letting other people cloud me and my thoughts of what my success is, when my success is getting into bed at night and closing my eyes and feeling like I've done something good and my mental health being in a good place. That's all I want for my life. And the driving force, I think, should always be kindness and integrity. And if you can somehow align your career path with that, then, you know, you're onto something. So I hope those concepts, not concepts, ideas, I hope they help. This idea of sublime is very fascinating to me. And I'm going to delve deeper into mastery of self throughout this season. But if I could leave you with anything, it's just, you know, have patience with yourself.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Olly.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Like, really have patience. I mean, to tell a story, one last story, of my own university experience and, yeah, a little bit of an uncomfortable one, but, I think it will help people. In 2017, I was in my final year of university. I was having a bad mental health episode anyway, and I was living in, my binge eating disorder was at its worst. So I was, hiding food all over my flat, and I'd got in debt from buying so much food and alcohol, and I would hide the food all over and binge. I mean, the binging was getting really, really bad, like, you know, three times a day sort of thing. And I'd had something happen and that had made that all worse, and I wasn't sobering up, and my hair had really, really started to fall out badly. So I wasn't leaving the house because I didn't want to put wigs on, and I was just in this space. But I definitely, for a few weeks, it was pretty pretty hard to see any sort of future for myself. And you know, in that space, in that place, to then be taken into a meeting at university and to be said to me, like, you know, you're failing university, and to see the look on my parents' face and see, you know, them be just so confused and so like, what's going on with her? We just want to help you, but we don't know how. And now you're failing uni, and what are you going to do with your life? That memory, I always think back to that week of my life where it got the worst it probably ever did, because I never want to feel like that again. But also, no matter how, you know, many accolades I do or how many races I run or whatever business I have, the fact that I don't feel like that now is, that's the sublime. That's truly the sublime, to want to be alive and to experience things and to want to read. And not only read, but to think about what I read and pass it on to you guys. And to hear that that's affected change in your life, and that you might go on to find your purpose, and then that might create a ripple of change for someone else who's listening to you tell your stories, is beautiful. And that's the meaning of it all for me. So be patient, because life can change in a matter of years. It really, really can. And I mean, I'd say I'm a completely different human being. I mean, I'm still me, of course, at my core, but I'm strong and capable in ways that I never thought would be possible for myself. So, yeah, it's a long journey to finding your purpose, but you can, no matter how dark it feels for yourself, there's always a light. There's always a light, and you can find it. So, yeah, I'll leave you with a poem, as always. This is a beautiful, beautiful poem by Mary Oliver. And if you can, watch the video of her reciting it or listen to her reciting it, because she speaks this very beautifully. It's called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. One of my favorites. Read that on a few lonely nights. Little tearful moment. But thank you for listening. Next time I speak to you guys, I'll probably be in Thailand. So that's exciting. But yeah, thank you for your time today. Loving you all. Big kisses, and I'll speak to you next week.